Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Happy Father's Day to those that celebrate and to those that don't. Maybe today is a good day to you. Just want to say we're thinking about you guys. It takes a village. Any way that you can help and chip into the community and help others out, especially kiddos, man, you are good people. So teachers, all you guys. Man, love you guys. So today, this is episode 1432. We're going to be talking about fixing the 49ers offense. So I have spent a ridiculous amount of time, and I enjoyed every single second of it, going back through an analytical film approach to the 2023 49ers offense and the 2024 49ers offense, figuring out what the differences were, what that means, what that translated to, and for each one of these weird categories, how things could improve. It is very clear 2023 was incredibly amazing offensively, and not that 2024 was bad offensively. It really wasn't. I mean, you look at just kind of where you rank statistically, 13 in points, 4th in yards, 11th in first downs, 4th in passing yards, you know, like 4th in net yards per attempt. The crazy thing, 14th in rush attempts, 11th in rush touchdowns, 7th in yards per rush. Like, all right, better than average, but for a Kyle Shanahan team, not good. Just very, very, like, 2023 is what you want. So, again, we're going to go through, look at 2023, look at 2024, and how those changes could happen and improve and go back to what they were under 2024. That's kind of the idea there. And then we'll conclude our episode, the second half of the show, with our best of series. We're going through the best 49ers ever to wear the jersey number 45, as we just keep freaking clocking up. I love it. I love it. And have to say thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365, and David Gill. They make this show happen, and so do all of you, you countdown crew, all the hashtag CCs. Look at this. Eggy, CC from the Netherlands. Ooh, we got Colin from the UK. I love this. Happy Father's Day, Bobo. Appreciate you. What's up, Mark? Glad that you guys are here. Hey, Tommy, we got Steven in the chat. I love it. I love it. I love it. I see you there, Tommy. You're such a mess. Right here, PN. The difference was the quarterback stopped taking what the defense gave him and went for what he couldn't do. Some of the stats back this claim up pretty sizably. Now, the question comes to, and let's just dive into this, okay? So whenever you look at completion percentage, so this is twofold, okay? I have way too many categories, but I think two categories speak to your comment here, PN. And I'm probably a much more pro Brock Purdy guy than you are, judging from what you're saying here. But completion percentage and timing of passing. So the average amount of time to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand, time to throw is usually how it's measured. So completion percentage was, it went from 69%, nice, to 65%. So 69% in 2023, dropped 4 percentage points, right? Okay, well, all right, 4 percentage points, not that big of a deal, right? It kind of is. And so whenever you flesh this out, you look at the sheer magnitude of passes, right? So in 2023, you had 336 completions and 491 pass attempts. So under 500, right? So 336 completed passes to 491 attempted passes. Now you jump to the 65% of last year, 2024. Well, you had 349 completions, so more completions. More completions, right? So, okay, that's good. But you threw the ball 533 times. So you only got 13 more completions, but on 42 more pass attempts. That's a 30% success rate on the additional passes that you added. That's an extra 29 rush attempts, which, okay, all right. And again, I understand, like, well, if you don't pass it, that doesn't correlate necessarily to a run. I think that sometimes it does, but I understand the statistical. Yeah, I get that. I understand somebody's like, well, hold on. But here's the issue. If you run the ball 30 times a game, you win football games in the Kyle Shanahan era. I think you've lost like two games that you've rushed over 30 times since Kyle Shanahan's been here. It's something like 45-2, something like that, right? Now, 29 rushing attempts, that's an entire game's worth of rush attempts that you withdrew, that you withheld. And for a 30% success rate, which is not good. So the completion rate did go down. Now, something that goes with that is whenever we look at the time to throw, because it was very evident when Christian McCaffrey went out, Brock Purdy did not trust Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason was awesome last year. I mean, we'll get into some stats that, you know, whatever we talk about the run game, yeah, you know, missed tackles forced, all that kind of stuff, like yards after contact. Good Lord. Jordan Mason was like putting up MVP numbers if he just would have got more carries and stayed healthy. But whatever. It was a major loss in the passing game, right? Which did 100% affect completion percentage, time to throw, average depth of target, all of those dramatic shifts from 2023 to 2024 in a negative way, all of them negative. But the timing, okay? Time to throw, 2023, 2.73 seconds, which is kind of long. And Brock Purdy is never going to be at the top of time to throw because he always have, like, out of every two drives, he has one of those spin out, roll around, juke, 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 read, pump fake, throw. So, like, that is always going to make this time to throw metric kind of rough for Brock Purdy. You want it around 2.5 seconds. But in 2023, 2.73. You jump to last year, 2024, 2.99. So, it's an extra 2.6 seconds per throw. And again, you go back to, that's 533 pass attempts. So, that's 0.26 seconds, so a quarter of a second longer on 533 pass attempts. It just gives everybody that much more time to get to him. and skipping over Jordan Mason, skipping over Patrick Taylor Jr., skipping over those checkdowns where when it was CMC and you checked it down, it was like, oh, like, yeah, that's easy. It's really, really easy. So I do think that Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, it was a concerted effort because even on top of just the timing and all those things, and yeah, Ayuk not being there, that affected things because the separation's not there. Whenever Ayuk got injured, and Ayuk wasn't Ayuk for the first couple games of the year. CMC, that's huge. This is why you drafted Ricky Pearsall, right? To get open quick horizontally so that Brock Purdy has clean, open wide receivers. Because if he has them, he'll hit them. Juwan Jennings, a little bit different wide receiver. He could be covered and still open. You know what I mean? But he still gets separation. I'm not saying he doesn't, but it's just different. So how does the timing get fixed in 2025? Got to trust your checkdowns. Isaac Garrido, he's a great receiving back, but man, he screwed up a lot of screens because he just can't get to the point of the target. It releases way too wide out of his blockers, whatever else. But small sample size there. The 49ers have this very crucial Christian McCaffrey will fix it syndrome or problem. Christian McCaffrey's amazing. Obviously, offensive player of the year, just a year removed. But it scares the living daylights out of me the whole time I'm going through all of this. And it's just like, oh, well, Christian McCaffrey will fix it. Oh, well, Christian McCaffrey was injured. So, well, oh, like, that bothers me. And I think you guys will hear this theme throughout today's show. I love Christian McCaffrey. And I hope he plays the 3 years left on his deal. But it's rough to just rely on CMC to fix everything. But that's kind of where it's at. And so that scares me a little bit. Tommy, appreciate the kind words, my friend. Back to the chat. What's up, Michael? Yeah, happy Father's Day. Sean, what's up, man? Love it, love it. Replace quarterback with Kyle. Now, Mark, shout out to Mark. He always keeps everybody honest, including myself. If you look at screens, called plays, this is a Kyle stat. This is not a Brock Purdy stat. In 2023, screens, design screen plays, 72 attempts. Okay, there were 72 screens in 2023. Then you look at 2024, 48. 48. That's 24. 24 fewer called screens. Debo played pretty much the entire year. Like, this is a problem for me because I believe in layups. I believe in staying ahead of the chains. And especially whenever you have all these quote-unquote yak guys, screens need to be a part of the offense. You have George Kittle. You have Isaac Garrido. You have Debo. You have Ricky Pearsall. Like, you have Jacob Cowing. Like, there are guys you could throw screens to easily. I hate that that went down. So in 2023, you were sixth in the NFL in screen passes, designed, you know, get the ball out quick, screen plays. You fell to 22nd last year. So from 6th to 22nd, like, I don't like that. Now, you look at average depth of target per pass, right? So, like, if you, the screen, the deep pass, whatever else, the average depth of target, how many air yards that is. In 2023, 8.6, okay? And again, this is 500 pass attempts, okay? So 8.6 yards per pass attempt. That was the average depth, how far you're throwing it downfield. That's pretty solid. Not bad. To 9.2 in 2024. That's an extra, you know, half a yard for 500 pass attempts. You're making the degree of difficulty much harder than it should be. And so I do think that it is a Brock issue. I do think that it is a Kyle issue. I do think that it's an injury issue. But it's very clear the 49ers offense, when operated, you know, efficiently and quick and taking those easy passes and all those things, like, you go back to the 2023 offense, right? We did the 2024 ranks. 2023 offense, third in points scored, second in total yards, second in first downs, fourth in passing yards, second in passing touchdowns, first in net yards per pass attempt, third in rush yards, first in rushing touchdowns, fourth in yards per rush. Everything worked. Now, everybody was healthy, but whenever you change the play calling, We're taking away screens. Not taking away, but I mean, you drop from 72 to 48. That's one third fewer screens. That's a Kyle thing. You can run screens with what you had last year. You could do that. And they didn't. And I think that's an issue. Logan, Brock Purdy is the best quarterback we have to win a Super Bowl, though. Talking to Bobo, yeah, there's some Brock Purdy hate and whatever else. You didn't lose that Super Bowl because of Brock Purdy. And again, I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. Red in the face would probably be more appropriate. Brock Purdy walked onto the field in the Super Bowl three times, trailing, and walked off three times in the fourth quarter in overtime, leading. I don't like that dude delivered. He brought the 49ers back in the playoffs against the Packers. He brought the 49ers back against the Lions, and he did it three times against the Chiefs. It's just Patrick Mahomes did it four times. Yeah, and you could say, well, he should have. Yeah, well, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Is Brock Purdy that? I don't think anybody's arguing that. And so, yeah, but I get it. A lot of people are not in the whole Brock camp, and that's cool. You do what you want to do. I'm telling you, my number one criteria for quarterbacks is, can you deliver in the playoffs? That's number one to me. Brock Purdy has done so in multiple seasons. Obviously, the first season and then the second season, 2022 and 2023, like, and he's young as hell. So, yeah, I'm a Brock guy. Do I think he's a top five quarterback? I don't. Does he have those elite traits of, you know, arm strength and height and whatever? No, but he has mobility. He has accuracy. He has timing. He has tempo. Didn't use it a lot last year. But I don't want this to turn into a Brock quote-unquote debate. I think it's a collective approach. The issues, right, the detailed look at the 49ers offense issues and fixes, it's a collective. Takes a village. Brock Purdy's kind of chief of that village, but I think it's more than that. Oh, look at this. Miho put a smile on my face. Thank you for the super chat. She says, hashtag CC, happy Father's Day. John and all the dads out there, Miho is one of the most positive humans you will ever meet. Thank you, Miho, for putting a smile on my face. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Love it, love it, love it. And yeah, this is the issue. Observe. Well, CMC was injured, but somehow forgot that Kyle Shanahan kept using him while he was injured. I do wish when Christian McCaffrey came back that it was more of a time split. There were those two games where the best run play of the game was Jordan Mason, and then you sat him for the rest of the game. Like, he came out for like two carries. That's a Kyle issue, 100%. And I hope that he gets past that. Like, I'm not saying take Christian McCaffrey off the field. I'm just saying you don't have to run him into the ground. But that is a 49ers trait, and they do it at every position. They do it with all defensive linemen. They do it all the way across the board. It's just kind of like, you look at Eric Armstead averaging like 800 to 900 snaps a year until he started getting injured and just couldn't stay healthy. Then he goes to the Jags. They cut his snap rate in half and he plays all 17 games. But the 49ers haven't had the depth to do that, and they're not going to have the depth to do that now because you don't have depth on this roster. That's a major issue of this team. But let's refocus back on kind of the 49ers. Kyle made a ton of stupid decisions last season. I think there were some problems. There's no doubt about that. And my biggest issue with the Kyle Shanahan 2024 season was going so pass heavy. I didn't think that you had to do that. And when Kyle doesn't trust the running backs, he just says, all right, we're throwing the ball like crazy. And again, you look at 2023, you had a 60% pass rate on plays called. In 2024, 65%. I want that closer to 55 to 50% personally. But I thought the 2023 season they were high. 65% in a Shanahan scheme that is predicated on running the ball and play action, that hurts. And so, again, 5%, not that big of a change, right? It matters. 5%, that's several. That's an extra 50 passes. It's just too many. And whenever you not only increase the amount of passes, but then decrease the amount of play action, play fakes, right, where you fake the run and then throw the ball, That was huge. All-time low for a Shanahan offense with the 49ers. Around 20% play-action passes. Like, that, no. No, no, no. So, again, put numbers to it. 2023, 153 play-action dropbacks. 2024, 122. That's 31 less. That's about two per game. Whenever the entire offense is predicated upon the threat of the run game to open up the pass game, you look at any George Kittle highlight, not any, majority, they're all play action passes. And so whenever you remove that, you allow their linebackers to just drop into coverage, and it makes all the windows smaller, but that just little play fake, and compound that with all the empty sets. I hate the empty sets, but whatever. Brock loves them. I hate them. Brock's smarter than me. I understand that. But, man, whenever you give that defense, you give the defensive line, hey, we get a tee off against the quarterback. We don't have to stay in our run games. We don't have to occupy our offensive linemen. We just get to pin our ears back and go. The linebackers immediately get a drop to their set. Corners immediately, you know, you're watching the snap of the ball. Oh, it's a pass. They get their eyes to the wide receiver earlier. The safeties, they get their eyes to the number two wide receiver almost most of the time. Or if they're reading the quarterback, they get to their zones. Like, it helps all 11 players on defense. I hate that. I'm not saying every single play should be play action. I'm not doing that at all. But the 49ers were 19th in play action pass attempts last year. They should be a top 10, top five lock every year in a Shanahan scheme. And you say, well, CMC wasn't back there, so they knew we weren't going to run it. I think that's wrong. And, I mean, you could look at, here, what year am I on? I just want to make sure. Okay, here we go. In 2024, if I just go to kind of rush attempts and yards per attempt, you know, Kyle Juszczyk had a 5.2 yards per attempt, yards per rush. Like, yeah, he only ran the ball five times. Jordan Mason, 5.2. Isaac Grindo, 5. Patrick Taylor, 4.7. Christian McCaffrey was at 4 yards per rush. Like, you could still run the ball with these guys. Patrick Taylor should have. He had 39 carries. Patrick Taylor should have had 100-plus carries last year. Like, just solid, consistent, gets the job done, runs tough, could be a pass catcher. He's just a hard runner. And you just, he didn't play much. He got one start. Average 4.7, and even, you know, Isaac Grindo, he's a boom-bust guy. I like consistency. That's just my style. But, like, you should have ran the ball more. The threat of the running game still matters. And, man, Kyle Shanahan took that away. That's a Kyle Shanahan thing. That is not a Brock Purdy thing. That is a Kyle, and I do think that was one of his biggest mistakes last year. Oh, Michael Pickle. We were just talking. What's up, brother? Appreciate the super chat and your friendship. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. John, can't wait to party this year at the 49ers Rush Road Trips. Yeah, Michael's coming out to Houston and Indianapolis. I think he said Cleveland. But, man, if you are coming out and you're going to any 49ers road games, you got to come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
And again, we have added a preseason one. So, man, we're going all over. We've got preseason tailgate at the Raiders. Who doesn't want to go to Vegas? Week 1, Seattle. Week 2, New Orleans. Week 6, Tampa Bay. Week 8, Houston. Week 9, New York. Week 11, Arizona. Week 13, Cleveland. Week 16, Indianapolis. I'm going to be racking up those frequent flyer miles, baby. But I love it, man. Why not enjoy the faithful and all that stuff? So come out and party with us. Love it, love it, love it. We're getting some good stuff right here. Luke, you know, touchdowns are important. The touchdown to field goal, you know, I love Brock But he overthrew Debo for a touchdown, overthrew wide open Ayuk. He hits that. We're talking now he went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, there were some issues. It was not a perfect game by either quarterback. You know, you talk about the interceptions thrown, the interception throw from Mahomes. But yeah, was not a perfect game. There's no doubt about that. But I do think that he put enough out there to win the game. 49ers special teams and 49ers defense completely laid an egg at the end of the game. But the offense was terrible at the start of the game, so that's an issue there. Mark, Brock was not the problem. Again, if I think a lot of times we want to say this one thing is the issue. It's part of our society. I'm not saying you were doing that. I'm not saying anybody else was doing that. I'm saying that seems to be my assessment of when we talk about issues. Kyle's the issue. Injuries are the issue. Brock's the issue. Yes. It's always more nuanced and complicated than just, but this number one thing is the issue. Everything else is fine after that. I think that it's a lot more than that. And so, yeah, did Brock contribute to the offense being an issue last year? Yeah, he did. He did. Refusing to check down, going for the kill shots all the time. Yes, that was a Brock issue. Was he being coached to do so? Sure. And then the other side of that, Observe says, Kyle Shanahan apologists always blame everyone else. I don't think you're talking about me here. Some people in the chat for sure will always just say Kyle Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. But it's not. It's Kyle and Brock and injuries and. It's never just one thing. Football is too complex. There's 22 moving players out there at every single play, and there's 150 some odd plays a game. It's always, always more. And yeah, Mark, our red zone was terrible. And again, it just seems to be the 49ers are saying, "Up, CMC will fix it." I don't like that. Now, here is one of the main issues that I found from 2023 to 2024 that I do think they fixed without Christian McCaffrey. 21 to 11 personnel. The 49ers used more 21 personnel than any other team in the NFL. They used to. They did not last year. 21 personnel means you have, there's 21 and 12. The first number is running backs. The second number is tight ends, right? So from 21 and 12 personnel to 11, that's one of the biggest issues that I had with the 49ers last year. And so if we look just at the numbers, 21 personnel, right? Two backs, one tight end was used 35%. 35% in 2023, down to 23%. That's a 12% drop. 12% drop. And whenever you look at 12 personnel, that dropped double-digit percentage points as well. That's two tight ends out there. Now, this one is very easy to figure out why they didn't do it. You didn't have a number two tight end. You didn't have one. And so whenever you lost Charlie Warner, Ross Dwelly to a much lesser extent, man, they were like, dude, we can't put Braden Willis. We can't put Mason Plyne. We can't put Jake Tonges. Cam Latu was a complete waste. So it was Kittle or bust. And a lot of times they had to use Kittle to stay in a block. He had, I think it was like 30, 40 pass blocking snaps. Those are routes. That dude he's one of the best receiving tight ends in the history of the NFL. Like, no, don't do that. Well, the 49ers actually went out there, and this is one of the things that they 100% answered without Christian McCaffrey being the answer. They went and prioritized Luke Farrell. And a lot of people were really upset by this signing, and they were shocked by how much the 49ers spent for a tight end, too, that is a blocking tight end. But you didn't have it last year, and it changed everything. Now, he was your number one focus. He was the number one priority in free agency, and I totally understand why. It's not sexy. It's not. He has no touchdown passes in his career, but this frees up Kittle. This allows defense. It forces defenses to stay in base packaging with three linebackers instead of a nickel corner. Well, what does that do? Well, that's going to help your wide receivers get open. That's going to help your tight ends get open. That's going to help everything out there because there's a bigger dude out there that can't cover as well by definition. So probably, you know, I probably need to asterisk this point here because they didn't have the personnel. I mean, you were using Kyle Juszczyk as your sole running back on passing downs. Like, that just hobbles your entire offense because, one, he's not a running threat. Two, he's not super elusive. He's a fullback. Like, you know what? Like, yeah, he could pass protect some, but you're just operating at a deficiency at the start of the ball. When you break the huddle, like, they're like, oh, guys, they got 44 is their receiving back and it's 3rd and 10. He's not getting 10 yards out of the backfield. Can't do that. And so now you're bringing in, you know, and again, a lot of that was just lack of trust for Isaac Grando, Patrick Taylor, which I think was wrong. But then you overcomplicate this even further with the tight end position. And, oh, man, Luke Farrell is going to make a big difference. You're not going to notice it a lot of times, but trust me, it's going to manipulate the defensive personnel packages, and it's going to give you a lot more mismatches in personnel offensively. I think it's going to be a big deal. Right here, 40 hours throwback. Appreciate you, man, all you do for the community. We didn't do enough jet sweeps. That is factual. You had Debo. You don't have Debo anymore, but you can do jet sweeps with Ricky Pearsall. You do jet sweeps with Brandon Ayuk. You remember the Brandon Ayuk Eagles touchdown week two where, you know, he takes the jet sweep and he hurdles the guy? Is that like, I understand Debo's your guy. He's gone now. But guess what? You have other guys that could do this. Christian McCaffrey, you do jet sweeps with him. Like, you do the jumbo jet sweep with Kittle. That's worked. Yeah, it's weird that we got rid of that. Now, a lot of teams did the wide nine away from the number two wide receiver, which, so like, if you have two wide receivers on this side, right, and you're going to jet sweep across, so the opposing side, a lot of teams will do a wide nine so that they have an unblocked defensive end that will key on that. So sometimes that gets taken away pre-snap, but that's fine. If they're going to over-adjust, we'll just run through that B-gap, and that's where Isaac Grando's at his best. That's just inside zone, hit that B-gap backside. Oh, I'm just saying, I would like more jet sweeps as well. And you can double motion. You can motion across, then jet sweep back if they, you know, overcorrect with that defensive alignment. You know, a lot of teams started doing that with that five-man D-line front. The Rams started that in the playoffs back in 2022, I think. And then a lot of teams have copied that. But there's ways around it. But you have to break the huddle early, and you have to be prepared for it for, hey, we're going to reset, flip, and then run it the other way. It's a lot of verbiage. It's a lot of stuff that you have to have in the – but you can do it. Kyle's done it before. He's done it before. Charlie Warner's definitely missed, and that's why we got Luke. We needed that other tight end. I think it's huge. Let's see here. Right here, we should be able to let guys win in pass plays. Four guys, one should win. We got to trust that our players can win when asked as well. A lot of that's just trust in reps. Ricky Pearsall was a guy that you depended on big time last year, but like, you had no reps with the guy. It missed all of training camp, then got shot. And he's missing all the OTAs now. Like, you got to have that degree of comfortability from the wide receiver. And now the good news is Brock and Jacob Cowan and Ricky Pearsall worked out some of this offseason together. That's huge. But yeah, you haven't had that. And the one guy that you did have that in was Juwan Jennings, that you had to flip to X in the middle of the year because of the Ayuk injury. So like, that wasn't even, you know, polished or whatever. And Debo, he's not going to win against man coverage. It's not what he is. So there were issues. So what do? You got to have guys that can win. You bring in Luke Farrell that lets George Kittle run routes. He'll win, right? CMC back. Hopefully he'll win on those routes. So yeah, I'm with you though, Luke. Well said. Well said. Yeah, Logan, this would be huge. You know, probably one of my biggest issues with the draft was that you didn't draft a move tight end. You got Luke Farrell as your blocker tight end two, but the tight end three is still a question mark. Roz Dwelly hasn't played really in 3 years for anybody. Mason Plyne would be the answer. If I could have anybody win that move tight end three job, it would be Mason Plyne. Is he ready? No one played football for really 3 years. He had 2 years before he was drafted. Project player, was on the practice squad all last year. Can he contribute in the red zone and just a small receiving package and special teams? Man, I hope so. I don't have a lot of faith in Braden Willis. I don't have a lot of faith in Jake Tonjes. I think they're good roster guys, but I think they lack the playmaking ability. Mason Plyne is a playmaker. It's just he's a basketball player that's getting accustomed to football still. But if I could have anybody win that number three job, oh, yeah, it'd be Mason Plyne. If he can learn it, that's huge. That's huge. Let's see here. Scrolling. Jay King. Injuries are part of the game. Every team has them since why you need depth. 49ers don't. Now, the one area that they did get depth, here we go. Let's go down to our running backs. This is another issue where I'm like, hey, I think they kind of fixed this a little bit. 2023 season, the running backs forced 133 missed tackles. Running backs, 133 missed tackles forced. 2024, 86. That's like a 50 drop. It's a 47, I believe, if my math's right. But like, yikes. 1,790 yards after contact by the running backs in 2023. That fell to 1,372. That's 400 yards difference. Now, here's where it gets even worse, right? And Jordan Mason had 37 of those 86 missed tackles forced last year. And he's gone. You shipped him away for pennies. And again, I hate how much they're just relying on, well, Christian McCaffrey's back. He's healthy now. The one area where I'm like, okay, cool. Luke Farrell helps the tight end. You did draft Jordan James. Jordan James had 58 missed tackles forced in college for Oregon just last year. So at the very worst, you replaced what Jordan Mason kind of brings, because Jordan James is a smaller version of Jordan Mason, right? Jordan, it kind of works, but like very similar play styles. They're now Jordan James is more all around all purpose back, which I do like, but even Jordan James wasn't used in the receiving game, but the 49ers highlighted, hey, we like him at the, you know, you look at the combine and how he did on his routes and all that stuff. I think that's huge. And so I think that matters. And so can he blossom into that? Can, you know, probably the best non-CMC running back routes is Isaac Grendo. He's a former wide receiver. He's got good hands, all those things. Just can he get to his spots? That's been his problem, is lack of vision and not getting to his spots. But, you know, I love the OTA. They released the highlight of Brock hitting, you know, Isaac Grendo on a swing pass out in the flats. And, yeah, nobody touched him for 40 yards. You just have to predicate, and option routes aren't his thing. And maybe they could be. They just weren't last year. So, yeah, could the running back position bring some of that? But it's not just the running back position. It's the wide receiver position. So it went through and tracked all wide receivers, all running backs in receiving set, like pass plays, all tight ends on pass plays, right? Missed tackles forced, 2023. 83 missed tackles forced by all your tight ends, running backs, receivers in the passing game. 2024, that fell to 47. 83 to 47. You look at the yards after contact. Yak. All right. Jerry Rice, baby. The 49ers. 2,590 in 2023 to 1,857. And that was 600 plus yards. Gone. Like, ugh. And Debo was here for all of that. Now he's gone. Christian McCaffrey coming back helps, but Ayuk's not a yak guy. Ayuk wins on separation and routes. For example, Ayuk had 12 missed tackles forced in 2023, like his best year ever. He had three last year in 2024 before his injury. Like, that's not what he does. And to be honest with you, it's not really what Ricky Pearsall does either. Juwan Jennings does. George Kittle does. Christian McCaffrey does. But now you're kind of changed. Jordan Watkins doesn't do that. You're newly, like, your change, Jacob Cowing doesn't do that either. This is a change that is taking place, and this is a Brock Purdy change. You went from Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Get the ball to guys quick and calculated, get through that first, second read, boom, boom, and then allow them to do what they do. That's not Brock Purdy's specialty. He can do that. Brock Purdy finds open wide receivers. That's Brock Purdy's thing. Brock Purdy gets through progressions quick, and he could ad lib. That's what he could do. So, what are you doing? You're partnering him with Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, these guys that are space creators. Jordan Watkins creates space vertically. Jacob Cowing, vertical and horizontal. Ricky Pearsall, horizontal, right? So you're adapting the wide receiver mold and kind of this whole scheme thing from a Deebo style to a Ricky Pearsall style. Getting 7-on-7 style players that get separation on routes. And that's why you signed Ayuk. Look, he fits what Brock Purdy does long term. It is a fit. He's not a yak guy. He could do it, but like nobody's going to confuse him with Juwan Jennings or Deebo or anything like that. He just wins differently. And so, yeah, it's crazy going through all these, and it's like, all right, pass heavy, that's a CMC focus. From 21 to 11, that's CMC focus. Screens, that's a CMC. Lower completion percentage, CMC. Timing, CMC affects that. Receivers, missed tackles forced, well, CMC kind of helps that. Running back, missed tackles, we'll see. That's my biggest, like, John Chapman sitting here is just like, man, can this one guy fix it all? I don't like that. Now, you did draft Jordan James, but, man, where's he going to fit on the depth chart? Is he 3? Is he 4? Now, the injuries that do take place for 49ers running backs, he's going to be used at some point. Ah, it's rough. And then the last category, 2023 to 24, I want to talk about is penalties. You had 101 penalties, which is still way too much in 2023, offensive penalties, to 111. So you were bad and you got worse. An extra 10 penalties makes a huge difference whenever you're losing the explosive, losing the missed tackles, losing the play action, losing the timing. So how do you fix it? You have to design more layups. I wish you had more depth at the running back position. I really wish you would have kept Jordan Mason. But even if Jordan James hits, like, I still think that helps. Because I do think that he's a better fit for this scheme than Jordan Mason is. You're talking a fifth-round pick versus undrafted free agent, obviously. But what's the hit rate on fifth-round running backs? I mean, use multiple picks on Trey Sermon, never panned out. Ty Davis Price, never panned out. Like, to sit here and say, well, Jordan James is a automatic hit, and yeah, we've got a guy. Jordan Mason was a guy. Like, that dude got traded for 2 draft picks, and got paid like $7 million a year at the most valued position in the NFL. Like, Jordan Mason's a guy. You chose not to do it. Now, you're sitting here and you're like, oh, well, they needed that money and they needed that. The 49ers have the second most cap space in the NFL, $46 million. He was going to cost you $5.1 million. Oh, you would have had $41 million salary cap space? That puts you second in the NFL. Like, I do like trade an undrafted free agent for draft capital. I get that. I get that. And I get the relieving some salary cap space. We'll roll it forward. That'll help in the future. I get that. I just, my biggest critique of this entire offseason, and it's been a great offseason, being a little nitpicky here, is the lack of depth across the board. Across the board. Across the board. That scares me. And with a team that has been plagued by injuries since Shanahan showed up, you had one really healthy year, and that was 2023. You went to the Super Bowl. But it's like, man, do we think we're going to have another year where we stay relatively healthy all the way through the season? Maybe the long offseason helps and all that, but I'm just like, depth is a concern. And so hopefully through this whole diatribe, whatever, things will improve and we'll see a little bit more of going back to what worked. Get the ball out quick, get some jet sweeps, get some screens, run the ball consistently, play action pass, fewer empty sets. Checkdowns are a great thing, not a bad thing. Stay ahead of the chains. That's what you want to see. But we'll see. We'll see. Hugo, I like this. Pearsall didn't start till week 7, correct? Cowing, Conley, Bell. Man, that was tough. Yeah, you didn't have a lot. It's not going to get better. It's not like you don't know who your number 3 wide receiver is for week 1 right now. You don't know. Yeah, you've got Ricky Pearsall, assuming he stays healthy. You've got Juwan Jennings. Awesome. Who's number 3? DeMarcus Robinson's going to be suspended. Brandon Ayuk's out. Who's it going to be? Like, that's an issue that you did not fix. Maybe it is Jordan Watkins. I'd be so happy if Jordan Watkins wins a starting role. Oh, because it's my least favorite draft pick, but I'm hoping I'm wrong there. Yeah, and Bobo, this is a great point. Even if Jordan Mason was still on the team, Kyle won't play him. He didn't even play him when he was leading the league in rushing. You're right. That is a wonderful counterpoint, and so that makes the trade even better. Right here, didn't Mason hurt his shoulder? He did. He hurt his shoulder twice, but that's not why they stopped giving it. They stopped giving it to him when Christian McCaffrey came back. He was fully healthy when CMC came back, and they just stopped giving him the ball. And then once CMC got hurt, that same game, Jordan Mason got hurt. That Buffalo game, they both went out that game. I was at that game. I got hit with like 20 snowballs. It was a lot of fun. Besides getting just destroyed. But the Bills Mafia was cool. I don't know. Just the depth is a concern. And I really hope a lot of these guys could kind of pan out. I really, really, really do. And it's just like, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. Now, before we jump to the best of number 45 of all time to wear jersey number 45 for the 49ers, here we go. You want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers Rush Road Trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win. All right. The best to ever wear jersey number 45 for the 49ers. Not a lot of top tier hitters, but that could change soon because a lot of fan favorites rookie Nick Martin is currently donning number 45. So that could change. How great would it be if the 49ers, I think probably the most, heralded linebacker room in NFL history, right? Whenever you have guys like Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Ken Norton Jr., you go on and on. I know I'm leaving a lot off the top of my head, but like linebacker, if there's one team in the NFL that has the best linebackers in the history of the sport, yeah. It's the 49ers. It's not close. It's not close. So Nick Martin, hopefully he could be a part of that. You had DFF, undrafted free agent. He was with the 49ers for five seasons, 2020 to 2024. Only had seven starts in that year. He was a special teamer / backup everything linebacker. Decent special. He was a quality special teams player early. Got worse and worse and worse as the career went on, sadly, with the injuries. Above average coverage guy, just so bad in the run game. It drove me crazy because you had all these rookie linebackers and young guys that they just refused to get playing time. I'd be at training camp and every day 45 DFS out there with the backups, and you've just got Jalen Graham and Tatum Bethune and all these guys just sitting on the sidelines just waiting to get snaps. Meanwhile, DFS out there getting all the snaps every single day, and it's like, why? Why don't we let the young guys develop? But 49ers, they loved him. DFF, Fred Warner's like bestie. And I hope he becomes a coach because I do think that he's a very smart guy. And it seems like a great dude. He just drove me wild. 9 playoff game appearances, though. That's pretty impressive for DFF. Fred Bruni, way back in the day, was with the 49ers in 1953 to 56. He wore jersey number 45. Defensive back. He had 2 Pro Bowls, but both were with the Boston Patriots, not us. And the main reason why I included Fred Bruni, a trivia question here, he was with the 49ers for a handful of years and became a coach for 35 seasons. When he retired, he was the longest tenured coach player in NFL history. Eventually got passed by the great Dick LeBeau, which is impressive. And Fred Bruni is credited with invention of the safety blitz, which I thought was pretty cool. Then 2 more players that I want to give props to: Bill Tucker. Back in, he was a running back in 67 to 1970. 3rd-round pick from Tennessee State. Got the same birthday, September 14th. What's up? He was 4 seasons with the 49ers as kind of the third-down running back, whatever else. Had 13 touchdowns. Played in 2 playoff games. That's Bill Tucker. but the best to ever wear jersey number 45 for the 49ers. I wonder if anybody said this in the chat. I didn't know this player, so I'm just going to be honest. Albert Kimbrough, back in the 60s, from 1962 to 66, he has a 27 AV scale. That's approximated value on Pro Football Reference. The next highest was 8, and that was DFF. He was a Rams second-round pick from Northwestern, but he only played 5 games for the Rams, then came to the 49ers, played 5 seasons, didn't miss a game in 5 straight seasons, 9 interceptions, no Pro Bowls, no All-Pros, no playoff games, but a consistent starter that just was an Iron Man, solid player. Albert Kimbrough. Never heard that name before today, whenever I woke up and started doing research. So I love it. A little bit of 49ers nostalgia for you guys. Now you know who Albert Kimbrough is, which is fun. So that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, I'm not taking the day off. I'm working on the roster countdown series. Make sure you check those out on YouTube. We're also putting them out on audio platform, but please go check those out. Tuesday, we got a John and Wayne show. Then Wednesday, I'm flying to visit family, but I've got shows and countdown shows going out throughout the week. And if something happens, I'll jump on live, as I'm traveling, whatever else, we'll get that done. But I really appreciate everybody. And again, y'all are incredible. What a fun show on Father's Day. And please take time to reach out to not only the fathers and father figures in your life, but maybe those people that today's not a good day, who have lost, whether they lost children or they've lost loved ones. And holidays aren't always the best for everybody. So just take time and be considerate of those that might be struggling a little bit today. And reach out and just offer sympathies if you can. But you guys are the best, and I'm very thankful for my time with you today. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.